what we're talking about. We're talking about resurrection and we're talking about transformation. And that's what Easter's all about, that Jesus came that you and I could be transformed to look like Him. So we're just continuing on and with the life you've always wanted. How many says, that's a good title? The life you've always wanted. So you got your Bible ready to learn? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans, the 12th chapter, we're going to go back again there today, and this is our text that we've been looking at. And the reason I take you back there every Sunday is because we're not totally transformed yet. We'll say I still lack a little ways being totally transformed. In fact, we're going to look at today, I'll just kind of jump ahead just a little bit, but we're going to look at the culture we live in. And how many knows what the culture that we live in produces? Stress, anxiety, worry. We'll just do a quick survey. How many stressed this week already? Wow. And the rest of you liars can come forward at the invitation. Just put it bluntly. All right. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. How many knows God has got a lot of mercy? He's got a lot of mercy. I got tickled this morning. Bruce says we need to rebaptize Bob. He's fallen from grace. That's a true friend, isn't it? That'll watch out for you. And Bob says, I'll tell you one thing. I've not fallen from grace. Just leave me alone. But we serve a God that's got so much mercy. You know, He's got a lot of mercy. He's put up with you for all these years, hasn't He? Amen. He's got more mercy than we do because He loves you more than we do after putting up with you all this time. And then when you think one guy said, you think you're some kind of big shot VIP sinner chewing out sin, the grace of God? You can't do it. And He says, give us liberty, but not to use it unjustly and all. But how many knows there's been, by the mercies of God. And so we've got a lot of room. Here's a picture. The closest picture I know about the mercies of God is a mother's mercy over her children. Because how many know you could kill her children when she's just like, now Billy? And I thought, man, that's the mercies of God. They have so much mercy. You mothers, I don't know how you do it, but you just got mercy and it just lingers. And I admire that, but most dads, we just don't have that kind of mercy, but our Father does. In fact, for the mothers, before you take too much credit, you have all this mercy. You've received it from God, the Father. So you got your mercy from a man. And so He says, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And so He's given us mercy, and all this mercy to operate in and walk in, so we can present our bodies. You know, when we have a lustful thought or a greedy thought or a hateful thought or something goes on, we have mercy so we're not fallen at that moment, but the Holy Spirit comes and quickens us, and in that mercy that He's given us, it gives us room to adjust and to let the Holy Spirit work inside of us. And He says, and do not be conformed to this world. And here's what our culture does. It conforms us to its image. If there was some way, have you seen these where they freeze people and hopefully they're going to come back to life again? I figure when I'm burnt and I'm done and I'm old, and I don't want them. Don't resurrect me, okay? Even if they can, and you think it'd be a good thing for your pastor, we'll pay for that. We'll just have him resurrected. Don't do that for me, okay? When I'm gone, I'm going to the other side, and I don't want to come back. So, you know, if that's you and you just want to live here forever, well, God bless your heart. You need a bigger vision of what eternity is. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more suffering, no more tears. No more taxes, no more insurance. No more orthopedic shoes. 54 and I'm wearing, I don't know what I've got in my shoes, but it's something. They said it's going to heal you. And I said, well, heal me or kill me. Get me out of here if I can't. So, you know, $300 later, here I am and it feels better. Yeah. But it conforms us to the world. And if we could freeze them and bring them back, somebody from 30 years ago, and if they came into this society today and they saw what's normal in our society, where there's, you know, there's homosexuality on every sitcom, where there's, you know, there's no respect for, the marriage bed, it's awful. Well, it's just normal routine for us today. And how many knows, regardless of how acceptable some things are in society, if the Bible calls it sin, guess what it still is? And here's the thing that we need to realize about God. God is not He's not a party killer, a joy killer. He's a joy giver. And so He says, if you'll do it My way, you can have joy. In fact, about 38 years ago, I married my wife and we've had joy in sex ever since. That's more information than you wanted, right? All my kids say, yuck, yuck, yuck. He just said, you know what, I want to get it where you don't have disease. You don't have AIDS you have to worry about, and where you don't have to worry about all these sexual disease. One man for one woman forever, and be happy where you with the one you are with. You know, He put this together so we could enjoy life without all the struggles. But we put all this sin in there. You know, we talked to a teacher the other day, and she said at a reunion yesterday, actually, and she was talking about the church, the school in McLeod. She used to be a teacher out there. It's one of my cousins. We had an Easter thing, and so now she is a probation officer, and it's private funded. And I said, well, who in the world pays for private funding on a probation? She said, the criminal pays his own. I said, I like that system. But she says, because the schools, you know, she used to be a school teacher, and she's worked through that, and she's working in conjunction with some of them, and she said, but the schools are broke. And Janice said, I thought gambling was supposed to fix all that. I mean, those gambling and things that go against the grain, and, you know, and if you gamble, you know, as long as you're not abusive with it, I guess you're all right if you don't get addicted. A lot of people get addicted, but, you know, I'm not here to slap on you if you do that. I'm just saying, things like that will not fix godly things that we need to fix. You know what will fix it? Prayer. Concerned parents. I think if we had had a prayer revival and all the parents got together with a prayer revival instead of a gambling revival, I think we could have had more money in the school systems today and more help. Because it's just it's presenting our bodies as and not being conformed to the world. Well, this state's got it. They're bringing all this revenue in for, you know, for this and that. And that's okay. I'm just saying we gotta remember when we're talking about having a blessed life, a life you've always wanted, it'll start with living a pure and a holy life, because that's what will bring true life. He said when you put this old flesh down and you pick up your cross and follow Me, He said you will find life, and you'll find life more abundantly. Jesus looked at you and said, My peace I give to you, My peace I leave with you. And if you don't have peace today, you're living below your privileges. Checks in the mail. You just need to go check the mailbox, the Holy Spirit mailbox. It's there. All right? So we should have peace. In fact, that's what I think. If we all live in peace like we're supposed to, I believe the world would be knocking our door down saying, where did you get that? What are you smoking? You know? And we could tell them, you know, where our high comes from? The Most High. It comes from Jesus Christ. Okay, now that's part of my text. What we've been preaching here for the last couple of two or three weeks, life is about this. And here's first week, and there's some CDs back there if you'd like to get some of these and listen to them. They're free. But life is about an event. How many knows events happen? We call it life. Life happens, right? Life happens, and so a life event happens. And then the second thing is about this: what you think about the event that happens. That's the second thing. How many knows you can see two people go through the same event with totally different views. One of them's just stressing out and foaming at the mouth, and just they don't know what. And the other's over there just with peace and saying, "Yeah, we're going through it, but when we come through, we're going to be more like Jesus, and we're going to be better, and I'm going to learn from this." And then, you know, so life, what you think about the event that happens to you is critical. And so that's what we've been working on. That's the transforming part we've been working on. And then the third thing is the feelings that is left after the event. the death, the divorce, the loss of job, whatever it might be, you know, the feelings that are left after this event happens, sickness pronounced on you, whatever it may be, the loss of a loved one that you thought you'd have with you forever, you grow old together and they're not here anymore, whatever that event is, but then the feelings that are left is what we have to deal with. And so we've been working on that part of it, because that's the part that we're supposed to transform, right? And so what we looked at the second week was, in that feeling, what you think about an event, there's three things in there. One is life experience, you know, what you've experienced and how you've gone through that experience. And then the second thing that's formed your core beliefs or your what you think about an event is family, you know. And it may not have been mom and dad. I know some of you grandparents are raising your grandchildren. But whoever it is that your family unit that you grew up with, that unit that's around you, and when you went through this thing, this life experience, however they reacted. Have you ever seen a family? You know, you go somewhere, and like we went to an event yesterday, and you see families, and they're so different. I mean, there's, you know, one kid gets up, and the mommy will run over and just, nah, honey, come here. And the other one says, hey, yeah! You know, and they're so different. It's like, God. I want to be like that little family. Come here, honey, you know. But they're so different. And so your family unit around you, we talked about that last week. And I shared with them some of the things my dad brought out. He's 87, and from 5 years old, he brought some things out I shared with the group last week that's still here and still in here because of life experience and his family unit around him, how it affects him and what he does and does not do, what he values and doesn't value. And so today I want to take a first part of a look at culture. And our culture, it's just different today, isn't it? It's just a different culture. You know, when you think about my little grandkids and grandbabies growing up in this culture, I think, wow, they need godly people around them to show them what's right and wrong. They need godly parents around them to say, this is truth right here. I know what the world says, but let's live in absolute truth so we can have absolute blessing and absolute peace and absolute, you know, a heart that is full of joy and not stressed out and strained. In fact, we start off, when I was meditating on this, I thought, you know, like in the morning, how many knows in the morning you'll get up and you'll go out in your car, and what do we call that? When we go out in our car and head out, what do we call it? Rush hour. That's culture, isn't it? Rush hour. That's what we call it here in America. Rush hour. That's the way we start off our day on Monday morning. Where are you going? Where are you headed? Oh, I'm headed into rush hour. So I can rush to work. So I can rush home. Because coming home, you know what they call it? Rush hour again. Which better would be served today in Oklahoma as slow hour. Congested hour. Full of stupid people hour. You run on to them too, didn't you? Listen, last week, and this is so petty, but this is where I am, and this is what robs my joy, is when I'm in front of slow people, stupid people, enjoying their drive in front of me. How dare them? So last week, I made a confession to our congregation. I said, I know it's petty, but this is where I am, and I'm tired of giving my joy away while I'm driving, so I'm going to be transformed in that area. How many knows what it is? And then the amazing thing was, when I said, is there anybody here like me that gives your joy away in driving? I bet 30 people raised their hand. Wow. But you give your joy away while you're driving. How many knows the only one that can cure that is you? Stupid people are always going to be with us, Jesus said. Oh, that was poor people, wasn't it? So they're always going to be there. And so if you want to transform, and if you're tired of giving your joy away, then you're the only one that can transform that. And listen, and I am so proud of myself. Yesterday when we came home, we got back into Oklahoma City. We'd been down south to out in the country where there's not much cars and stuff. It's nice. And we got back in the city. We're on Telephone Road. We just dropped Addie off. And we're headed home. And in the left lane on Telephone Road, the turn lane was here. And it come back out and then back on the street, way down the street. And we sit there for one light. and then it backed up again, and we're still out in the street, and I thought, I'm just going to go down. I'll cross over. I might even can beat this light, but I'm going to cross over, and then I'll just go around this little shopping center, just go through there and look at the buildings, and I'll get back on and give people room. I thought, I am so proud of me. The man of God I am. Jenna said, what are you doing? I thought, I'm just enjoying my drive, and I'm being transformed in the name of Jesus. He said, come on, we sit here, two lights. Oh my God, what are we going to do now? I can't live in this stress. In fact, here's a test. I'm going to give you a test today, and it's a good thing you're here. Some of you have what I had, it's called hurry-up disease. Here's your hurry-up disease test. Now, I want you to be honest. Come, Holy Spirit. Be honest. Here's the hurry-up test. You're at a stoplight, and you're whipping back and forth depending on the shortest line. Oh, some of you got it, don't you? Not only are you whipping back and forth, but then it's not good enough. If you really got hurry-up disease, then you look and you see the make and model of each car. Oh, there's a Mustang over there. I should have gotten that line. Golly. Oh, there's a dump truck in my short line. Ah. Oh. Some of you got it. Yeah. Get ready for an altar call. And then if you really got it bad, you'll look at year, make, and model of cars, and you'll look at to see how old they are, and you know, all that kind of stuff. Here's number two. You ready? You're at the grocery store. And you can't just pull up to the checkout. You got to see how many baskets are in line. And if you really got the disease, you don't stop at that. You have to count the items in each basket in the line. Oh. Oh, shoot. And if you laugh, you're eat up with hurry-up disease. And you're not done. And then if you really got it bad, you check the baskets out, you check the items out, and then you check the checkers out. Oh, she's old. We're never getting out of that. Oh, God, that is way too friendly to talk. A boy? I'm not checking in the boys' line. They take forever. How many's eat up? Let me see. Oh, look at all the honest people. That's why our grocery store has, you can check it yourself if you figure it out, you know. Yeah, you're eat up. And here's the final check. You're standing in line, and if you've really got it bad, you can't enjoy anything because you're looking over to see where you would have been in line and where you are. That could have been me. Oh, I'm getting up. Oh, I think I'm going to beat them. And your highlight of your whole shopping, which should be about the purchase, and you know you're able to buy, and you had the money. But that's not about that now. It's about the line. And you're thinking, yes, I made it before where I would have been. Hurry, hurry, hurry. And so the final item's checked, and in the line where you would have been, they're still there, and you're like, yes. Or the line where you were going to go, they're going out the door and you're like, that could have been me right there. I could have had it. Shoot. Isn't that petty? That's petty, isn't it? That's the culture. That's the culture we live in. That's what we've got into instead of saying, you know, just appreciating the experience of whatever we're doing at the time. I mean, whatever we're doing, shopping or, You know, how many just, my wife, she's sitting in here today, but she's so funny. She's so funny. If we go somewhere and it's really crowded in the shopping area and we find a place up front, yes! You know, I mean, that's victory to her. And as I look around the room, I think, you know, it really wouldn't hurt most of us to park way out there and say, thank you, Lord, for a parking spot way out there so I can walk in the sunshine and give me a little exercise today and prefer my brother and give them my space. And, you know, but we're not like that, are we? And it's our culture, and in our culture, it teaches that, because in sports, what? Everybody wants to be number one. And I like sports. The Thunder made the playoffs. Yeah. Okay, we're number one. I like sports and I like competition. I like all that stuff. But you know what I'm saying? We have been transformed because of our culture. When we get that petty about parking places or lines and things, that we can't stand there and enjoy just a few minutes of what's going on around us. How many knows there's people around there that we could be praying for? Don't you love stories that come from the shopping mall and you hear about a little granny or somebody that had to put back something, and somebody standing in line paying attention to what's going on around them instead of counting carts, and they were able to say, you know what, just tap the checker on, I'm going to pay for all that. You just sack it up and go on, see? We miss those kind of opportunities because we're too busy counting so we can get out, so we can go on to the next thing. We can't be transformed because of that. And our culture has set us up for these kind of things. We're just, you know, and I've noticed this. I've traveled to several different countries, and we there was a survey done. The one of the Senate subcommittees formed a little time management team committee, if you will, to do a time management thing in the late 1960s. You know what they said? What they found was, you know, in 20 or 30 years, which we're already beyond that, 20 or 30 years, with the technological advancements, we'll be so much farther along that people will have to work shorter weeks, shorter hours. They'll have to retire earlier because there just won't be enough to do. We'll just be so far advanced in technology that life's going to be good. How many does that sounds like you? You just have a short work week and you just struggle for something to do and... Now, you know what you say, what you been up to? Everybody says, boy, we've just been what? Busy. Whew. You talk to retired people. What are you doing? Whew, we're just busy. Well, you're retired. What are you doing? Well, I don't know. We're just busy. It's terrible. I'm surprised we hadn't been to a funeral and the guy raised up in the coffin. I'm just been busy. You know. I'm telling you, we're getting sucked in to a society where we can't even enjoy each other. We try to schedule dinner with some of you guys, and it's like, well, Tuesday's open. No, Tuesday's not good for me. Well, how about Friday? No, Friday. How about next week? Well, we'll see you next summer, all right? It's terrible. And we're cynical. You know, we want sermonettes, and we don't study the Scripture, and so we're cynical about what is even real and what's godly and what's not, because we don't want to study it for ourselves. I heard a really cute story, kind of went along with that. It says a farmer had a cynical neighbor, just always complained, cynical about everything, and said he thought, I'm going to cure this guy once and for all. And he goes out and he buys him a bird dog and a champion, world champion hunting dog, and then he trains him thoroughly, and he takes the neighbor out, and man, the dog's just frozen for an hour, you know, on point. And the guy says, what do you think about that? And then he picks up a trail and follows it almost a mile, you know, and points to birds. And then later on, they're in the duck blind, and he shoots a duck, and the dog's just sitting there frozen, waiting for the command. He gives the command. The dog walks out on the water, walks on water, gets the duck, walks back on water, and gets back. And the guy says, what do you think now about my bird dog? And he says, dog can't swim, can it? That's cynical. That's kind of the way we are. Well, I don't know what the Bible says. You know. What do you believe? Oh, I'm a Baptist. You know, I'm Catholic. You know, but I didn't ask you what you were. What do you believe? Well, you know, the Bible. I believe the Bible. How many of those people believe the Bible? You're going to love your enemies. You love your enemies? If you love your enemies, you believe the Bible. How many knows if you don't stress and worry all the time, you believe the Bible? Because He said, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, I am your God. I'll strengthen you, I'll help you, I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand." How many knows if you really believe the Bible, you're not going to be possessed with fear all the time. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. So how you doing? Oh, well, I'm doing well. I've got power, love, and a sound mind. How are you? If you really believe the Scripture. In fact, I think we ought to take a lesson. Today, when we turn the kids loose after lunch, they're going to go hunt Easter eggs. And you know what? They're just going to be in the moment, aren't they? They'll just be in that moment. That's what we need to start doing, church. Listen to me. We need to start being in the moment. There's so many great moments. The Bible said that God has filled this earth with really good things if we just enjoy them. In fact, He said, if you're heavy laden and burdened, come to Me, I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy. It's not stressful. I read the cutest story. Some of you know who John Ortberg is. He's a writer, speaker, great Christian author. And I thought, I just got so much from that because I thought our little grandkids are like this. But he's got three children and he said, when they want to celebrate around their house, he said what they do is they'll just run in circles and say, "Dee-da-day, dee-da-day." He said, that's just what they do. Kind of like, you ever give your dog a bath and you get him out of the tub and they go, whoosh. That's the way his kids do. And he said, that's what they say is, "Dee-da-day, dee-da-day." And I could just picture these little kids. And so he was giving them a bath and he said, he got the oldest. He said, I just put them all together because they're little, you know. And he said, I know I have to stop later, but right now they're, so he said, I save time and water, you know. And so he gets one out and he's got her dried off and her jumbas on her. And the second child, Mallory, he gets her out and then the little one's in the tub and still in the tub. And said, Mallory just shoots off naked and she's running around the room just circles singing, "Dee-da-day, dee-da-day, dee-da-day." And he said, he screams, "Mallory, hurry up." And she said, "Dee-da-day, dee-da-day, dee-da-day." Kodak moment, isn't it? And then he said, "No, Mallory, that's not what I'm talking about. Hurry up and get over here so I can dry you off." And he said, she asked me a question that I didn't have an answer to. It was profound. She said, "Why, Daddy?" He said, "I thought we have no meetings. I'm all caught up with everything I was supposed to be caught up with. We're not going anywhere. So let's..." I didn't have an answer for her. He said, "I don't know, honey." He said, and he jumped up and he started running, singing, "Dee-da-day, dee-da-day, dee-da," and said, her and Mallory just going around the room, "Dee-da-day, dee-da-day." And he challenged us. He said, "Guess what? When I get Mallory dried off and I get her pajamas on, said, guess what she's going to go do? Have another dee-da-day moment." And I'm telling you, we need some more dee-da-day moments. Come on, let's just warm up. Say, "Dee-da-day, dee-da-day." Come on. We'll have to write Mallory, okay, and tell her, "Thank you for the dee-da-day memory." Dee-da-day, dee-da-day. Here's what I want you to do. This is real holy, isn't it? But when you're stressing out this week, I want you to think, "Dee-da-day, dee-da-day, dee-da-day." Now, you might want to be careful if you're having a job interview and you're stressing out. Don't say it there. "So, do you know computers, Mr. Ray?" "Dee-da-dee, dee-da-dee, dee-da-dee." Some places it don't work, okay? But if you're in line and you can't get there because stupid people's in front of you, "Dee-da-dee, dee-da-dee, dee-da-dee." Yeah. If you can't get it all done and you're going to have to do part of it tomorrow and it's piling up, "Dee-da-dee, dee-da-dee." Just take a dee-da-dee break. And let's learn from the children that, you know what, it's okay to have a little fun. The joy, Nehemiah told some stressful Israelites that had been rebuilding and working hard. He said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." In fact, he said, here's what we're going to do at the end, as they were coming to a close and all their stressful time, and they'd fought the enemy and then labored and had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other, building this rock wall. And he says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to come, and it's just going to be joy. We're having a big feast. Bring your best food you got, like we did today. He said, and I just want you to come and have a party. We're just going to celebrate. No weeping today. No crying aloud. We're just going to have a party. We're going to have a Dida Day day. He told them, bring the wine. Woo-hoo! Dida Day moment. Dida Day moment. Let me give you a scripture to take home with you. Now, the one that we started off with, Psalms 118:24, this is the day the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. That's the one, that's easier to remember, so write that one down, Psalms 118:24. But I want you to go with me to Psalms 33:1. Psalm 33:1. And we're just going to read it. I just want to remind you of something that's in here. In fact, in the New Testament, you say, well, that's the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, Paul reaffirms this when he says in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. So he said always, and then he repeated it, said again I say, rejoice. But this, I want you to see two things. One is in verse 1, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. For praise from the upright is what? Beautiful. What we did today, and by the way, praise team, good Easter service. That was great stuff you did today. Yeah. Same way with all the people that worked hard around here. You know, if you're visiting today, or some of you members, you won't know, but the garden looks great. They got that planted in, and Cindy and her crew and Millie, all they got the table set up and stuff. So thank you very much for making this that's your sacrifice of praise. The music, the work, all that's beautiful to the Lord. But he says, praise the Lord with the harp. You know, we did that this morning. Make melody to Him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillful with a shout of joy, for the word of the Lord is right, and all His truth is all His work is done in truth. And then it says in verse 5, it says, for He loves righteousness. He loves righteousness and justice. You know, he's gonna balance it all out. One of our guys said the other night, he said, you know, if we're having struggles in there, he said, I'll tell you a struggle I have. He said, when I see people abusing kids, and I see people that's blowing up innocent people like these Al-Qaeda, he said, I just want to get my rifle and put them in my scope. He said, how do you accommodate that? And I said, here's the way I accommodate it. I know that these people, if they stay on the course of their own, they're headed for eternal damnation. And I pray for their souls that they'll be transformed. Now, they don't have to be, but that's the way I handle that kind of thing. Because any dad would want to do that, or any person would want to do that for somebody that just hurts innocent people, right? But look, watch the last line here. It says, the earth is full of the what? Goodness of the Lord. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Now, that's what I want you to look at this week. I want you to look for the goodness. If the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord, then we ought to look for it. Yesterday when we got home from our little Easter with our family down south, we come home and we talked to Pat and them for a little while, and then guess what? We went out and just walked about 4.5 miles, and it was a beautiful Dida day. And we just came from family, which was another. Janet said, did you have a good time? I said, that's great, wouldn't it? See all the family and the little babies running around. Just a Dida day. And then the wisdom's call, and we had a Dida day conversation catching up. And then we came here today, hear the word priest, the sing, we get to fellowship and have another Dida day moment today. And I want to challenge you, start looking for the goodness. It's all over the earth. It's all over the earth. But we've lost sight of the beauty and the goodness because we're so stressed about other things. And that's where I want you to be transformed. In fact, the first step is just say, you know what? I honestly, Lord, and the Lord's looking right now, and I'll just raise my hand. I told our church the other day, my mom was, I didn't know she's going to be able to pull through this last little deal she's come through. Had a feeding tube for a couple years, two or three years now, three or four years, and she's had leukemia and she couldn't get out of bed one day. It really stressed me out. But I thought, you know, Mom's a great Christian woman and I don't want to see her suffer, and we pray for her, but I thought, you know what, I don't want that to, if that zaps my joy, then the devil's just really got me where he wants me. Because now I'm not thinking about praise and power for Mother. I'm thinking about the stress that I feel. Bless my little heart. And so I don't want to stress over that. But if you're here, you say, here's the first thing, just confessing. Say, I stress too much, worry too much anxiety. Just lift your hand toward him. Just give him a wave. Say, this is me. I don't want any more. I don't have more D-Day moments. Come on. Just be honest if you're here. He's looking. Okay. Now, Father, we thank you for everyone that raised their hand and says, I stress too much, worry too much. I pray that you said the world's full of beauty and goodness and it's all around us. The sunshine, the trees, the seasons, everything you've given us. If we look, there's flowers in places that's just hidden away. There's planters full of flowers along the drive to work. There's people along the drive to work that's stressed that we could look over and pray for. There's dangerous people weaving and bobbing in and out. We could pray for safety over them and that God would rescue them from their lifestyle and the lie they're living by endangering people around them. There's so much good we could do every day and so much good we could see every day if we just stop and say, God, this is a D-Day. We'll face problems and we'll have stresses and we'll have events, but today, this is the day the Lord, my Lord, has made, and I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. I choose to find the beauty in my day. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to argue. I'm just going to find the beauty of my day because God said it's all around me. The goodness and beauty of God is everywhere. And so as your child, you're performing your duty by providing the day. And as your children, we repent from stress and worry and anxiety. And whatever we've been dealt, we'll just say, this is a part that God will give me strength to go through and to deal with. And so today we repent from the worry and the stress and anxiety. And today, Lord, we start with a brand new transforming day, being conformed back to your word, where you said, my yoke is easy, my burden's light. We're coming to you today for the yoke that you've given us. Not the one we placed on ourselves, not the one that we've chose to live, that's stressing us out and making us overweight and making us unhealthy and making us make bad decisions. Today we repent and we bring new hope. We gain new hope through the Word of Jesus Christ and through the Word of God. And today, Lord, Holy Spirit, help us to see all the D-Day moments that we'll miss because we're too stressed and too hurried. Help us to practice slowing down and trusting you that it'll all get done. We just need to keep on a pace that you've given us and enjoy the moments. Thank you, Father, for that resurrection power of Jesus Christ that's bringing us to a new place in our life today. In Jesus' name. And while Christians are praying, heads are bowed, if you're here today, for you, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, He's not Lord of your life. That's the most important decision you'll make ever in your life, is to make Him Lord of every single part of your life. That's where you'll find the life and peace you're looking for. It's the only place. And so if you're here today and you need Christ, if you'd lift your hand, I'd like to just lead you in a simple prayer. We won't embarrass you or anything, but we'd like to just lead you in a simple prayer that says, this day I will make, this resurrection day I'll make Jesus Christ Lord of my life. Is there one? You need to do that today before you leave this place. Thank you, Father. Okay, everyone's good today. And Father, we thank you for salvation, and we thank you, Lord, that everyone here is under the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you again for your Son and for all that He's given for us. And Jesus, we thank you and adore you. Celebrate this Resurrection Sunday for the great sacrifice that was given for us. And now, Lord, we turn our attention to a different part of worship, and that is fellowship. That's a strong part that you gave the church to continue in, and breaking bread. And so we thank you, Lord, for as we get ready to celebrate with breaking bread and prayer and fellowship, we just ask that you would bless our evening together, afternoon together. And the Holy Spirit would be here. We thank you for old friends that are here today and new friends and for our members, and we ask that you would just bless our time together. Bless those that have prepared meal today and sacrificed and brought it up here today. We ask special blessing upon them. And all those that have prepared this day today, we ask special blessing upon them today for their efforts, their sacrifice of praise. We ask you to bless our food, to nourish our bodies, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. All the church said, amen. Here's what we're going to do. If you're a first-time visitor, I've got a little gift for you up here, and I'd like to meet you up here and give you that. If you're staying with us for lunch, the kitchen is out these doors and through the left.